Devoncast
from Radio X.
And welcome to a special Devoncast this week, in which we'll be looking at the forthcoming election for the Devon and Cornwall Police and Crime Commissioner. It happens on May the 2nd, and we'll be explaining why you should bother to go out and vote. I'm Guy Henderson.
And I'm Ali Stevenson.
And this is Devoncast, which comes from Radio X and the Local Democracy Reporting Service. It's available on the Radio X website, the Radio X app, from your usual podcast providers, and from the all-new Devoncast Radio on DAB Digital Radio. Now, Ali, we heard last week on the Devoncast how predictions are gloomy for the number of people who will turn out and vote for their new commissioner. But it's a big job, isn't it? People really ought to be engaged in this.
Well, it is a big job because the commissioner kind of drives everything that happens within the police force and all the priorities, really, of what people want. And so she tells them what to do.
And, I mean, it's a role, just to sort of fill in the blanks for people, the police used to be run by the police authority, which was a group of elected councillors. Since 2012, the forces across England and Wales have been run by police and crime commissioners. It was in the 2010 general election campaign that the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats had the plans for a PCC in their manifestos to replace the police authorities. After that, it took a couple of years, and then PCCs were voted in. But it's an enormously important job, because everybody wants to see more bobbies on the beat, etc., etc. Everybody wants to see people being tougher on crime.
They do, and we'll hear about all of that later, actually. But yes, I mean, the commissioner holds the police to account, so
yeah,
that's an important role in itself.
It is, and you know, there are big figures that we're dealing with here. The budget and the annual budget for the Police and Crime Commissioner's Office is £2.2 million. Mm-hmm. And they commission work to the value of nearly £5 million. So that, you know, that's the things that they get people to provide. The salaries are quite considerable. You've got a CEO on £123,000. Right. You've got a treasurer on £110,000. And the comms officer, who's the one that we deal with most often, 71,000. These figures are all quite rightly on the PCC website. So people need to get involved and get voting and find out what's going on. And that's where we come in, isn't it?
Did we mention the commissioner's salary?
The commissioner's salary, 85 to 90,000.
It's not
inconsiderable.
That's about half of what the PM gets, isn't it?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? There you go. So the point we're making here is that, you know, this is not just a box-ticking exercise. This is an important role, and three people want it. Police commissioner, the only time I heard about a police commissioner was in Batman, obviously. Commissioner Gordon and the bat signal and the telephone underneath a sort of a glass globe thing.
In the day.
It's a real job now, and it's one that we should really be getting involved in. Ali, you've been out meeting the three candidates for the job. Tell us a bit more about them.
I have. So we've got a Labour candidate, a Liberal Democrat candidate, and the Conservative candidate, Alison Hernandez, who's been doing the job for the last 8 years. First of all, we're going to hear from Daniel. He's a Labour Party candidate, Daniel Steele. He's 31, and he has a background as a diplomat. He says he wants to put more police back on the streets. He wants to tackle violence against women and girls, prevent youth crime and reduce reoffending, boost crime prevention and victim support. He's also backing the crackdown on illegal sewage dumping. And he's here to introduce himself.
I am a Janna born and bred. So I was born in Plymouth in Devonport, an area which experiences a lot of has experienced a lot of those sort of antisocial behaviour and the crime type of issues that are really present in lots of communities, and the sorts of things that we want to be able to tackle. So I come from a service family background. So my dad served in the Royal Navy. So that's kind of where my values come from in terms of that public service, wanting to, you know, do my bit. Quite simply, as a philosophy, put more in than I take out. Do good, basically. That's where it all comes from. That's what's motivated me through my life. My career has been in the public sector. So I've worked in the wider public sector and also in the civil service. So until recently in this month, I was a diplomat at the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office, where I was working on really challenging political issues around sort of refugee displacement. So that's where things like human trafficking, modern slavery comes up, those sorts of issues which are really relevant to policing. And I've spent a lot of my career overseas, travelling and working in some of the most difficult and dangerous places in the world, places like Afghanistan, where my resilience and leadership were forged in quite complicated places. And it's also allowed me to see what it looks like when rule of law breaks down. So that's why I really fundamentally believe rule of law is the bedrock of our kind of society and democracy, because when you look at the alternative of the violence and chaos you see in lots of other places, it's something that we're really lucky that in the UK we do have strong government systems and governance in our country.
With all of that, I can understand why this might be a natural progression for you. It's not an easy job, is it, to be police and crime commissioner? So why would you want to take on something like that?
So for starters, it's that principle that, you know, wherever we are in Devon, Cornwall, the Isles of Scilly, we all want to feel safe. I've been a victim of knife crime myself. So I see the role of the police and crime commissioner is to be a representative for victims, the accused, the general public, to try and bring that public perspective into the police. And like I say, that was a really traumatic event, being attacked at knife point. You know, it's something that really stays with you. So I think that one gives me that ability to empathise with what might be victims of serious violent crime. I agree, it's a really challenging role, but it's really important, as I said, because it's the bedrock of our society. So it's something that I really feel passionately about. I think the Labour Party really feels passionately about, in terms of being, it's one of our missions to take back the streets. So I see it's really, with the role of police and crime commissioner, it's an opportunity for Labour to put into practice that mission without necessarily having arrived at the general election yet. So it's being able to demonstrate to the public what a Labour administration might look like as the national level, and start actually implementing that mission on the ground effectively.
Now, Daniel says he's shocked to find out there's only 177 police community support officers in the force in Devon and Cornwall. That's roughly one PCSO to 10,000 people. And despite current Police and Crime Commissioner Alison Hernandez saying police numbers are a record high, 3,610, Mr. Steele claims that there's still too many working behind desks on spreadsheets and not on the streets. He tells us what people have been saying when he's out there on their campaign trail.
One of the issues that people are really concerned about is the fact that the public want to see community policing, that they're not seeing that currently. And people are seeing that as a direct link to other issues they're facing in their communities, like antisocial behaviour, like burglaries. So I was talking to residents on the Dáil the other day, and there was a spate of burglaries in Derriford, and residents was specifically linking that to the fact that they don't feel they have that kind of community policing element to act as a preventative measure anymore. So that is one of the big issues. And also talking to business and business organisations, that, again, the sort of, because there isn't the community policing element, I was down in St. Austell the other day and talking to St. Austell Business Improvement District, they're having to pay private security to provide security in the town centre where previously it was done by the police. So there's this sort of absence of policing. And again, it's no fault of the police itself. It's a fault of poor public policy and political decision making by the Conservative administration, why that's ended up the case.
I asked Daniel what his direct message to the public would be and why people should vote for him.
After 14 years of Conservative chaos, we've got 90% of crimes going unsolved. And that needs a change. And Labour's committed to having serious violent crime and restoring confidence in our policing and criminal justice system. And in terms of why should people vote for me, built a career out of building bridges, working together with people, bringing people together. So, you know, this is a role which covers an enormous region. We're diverse in terms of population, rural, urban, our politics. And what I will be offering to the people of Devon, Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly is somebody who's going to act in a fair and even-handed way, whether they voted Labour or not. That's irrespective. I will do my best to serve the interests of all the residents across the region.
That was Daniel Steele, one of three candidates for the Police and Crime Commissioner election, which is coming up very, very shortly. We'll hear from the other two in a moment. You're listening to Devoncast, which comes from Radio X and the Local Democracy Reporting Service. It's available on the Radio X website and app, from your usual podcast provider, and from the all-new Devoncast Radio on DAB Digital Radio.
Next up, it's Steve Lodge. He's the Liberal Democrat candidate. Mr. Lodge from Tiverton runs a marketing and communications company in Devon, and he has been in business for 25 years. I asked him why he wanted to swap business for politics.
I've been in business for 25 years in my own right. When I started my career, I started in accountancy. I've got a degree in accounting and I've worked as an accountant for IBM and Marconi. And as my career has progressed, I've been vice chair of the Federation of Small Businesses in Mid-Devon. And I'm also a non-exec director for an NHS DAC, dispensing appliance contractor. So I've got good governance experience and I've been keen to get into politics for a long time, a sort of lifelong Lib Dem voter. Yeah. And I think the problems we have with central government and the Conservative Party and how pretty much every public service is being stripped to the bone just made me want to get involved in politics. And I thought about standing as an MP, but actually I saw the opportunity to be Police and Crime Commissioner. It seemed to fit very closely with my financial background and also my governance experience. And I relished the opportunity. It just feels like right now it's time for change. And that inspired me to get involved with politics. And I was doing some PR for Tiverton High School, which was a key issue in the by-election that was won by Richard Ford, the Liberal Democrat. And around that time, I met Sir Ed Davey and Richard, and I was inspired by them, actually, and their attitude and their desire to make the world a fair place. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yep, that's something that I would like to do. Some people say, well, you've got no background in policing, but there is no requirement to have a background in policing. And actually, if I did have a background in policing, I think it would be baggage that I'd bring to the role, which would make me non-objective. Mm-hmm. I think not understanding how processes work is a strength because I can bring innovation and creativity and acumen to the role of Police and Crime Commissioner.
Mr. Lodge says police are facing massive challenges in underfunding. The level of funding last year was the same as in 2011 nationally. Devon and Cornwall taxpayers are now paying £100 more than they were 8 years ago for police services in their council tax bills. I asked Mr. Lodge whether he thought taxpayers' money was being spent wisely.
I think Devon and Cornwall police are doing what they can with the money that they've got. I don't believe the money is being spent in the right places. In terms of a plan for 2025 and onwards, I would like to see more investment in antisocial behaviour. I would like to see more investment in police response times, because the freedom of information request by the Liberal Democrats showed that in Devon and Cornwall, the response time to burglaries is 22 hours. If you take a county like Bedfordshire, the response time is 15 minutes. It's a stark difference. And I would like to make sure that we have much better response times and to look at the issues around that and how we can improve it. I would like to ensure there is a greater focus on violence against women and girls. And I spoke to the acting chief constable this week, and that is something that he shares with me. And I think there could be much stronger multi-agency approaches to crime prevention. There are an awful lot of people out there who support crime prevention. I was sitting this morning with St. Petroc's in Truro, which is a sort of homeless charity. And the work they do is extraordinary in getting homeless people off the streets and rehabilitating them. But they say that the police is not interested in the welfare of people. The police cannot intervene and does not, and they do not want to intervene in mental health issues. They're probably not qualified for that, but nor is St. Petroc's. And you see these gaps in all sorts of public services. And you have to ask the question, who is going to fill the gap? And there are charities out there. You've got local authorities. And I would like to do far more work with those bodies to try and make sure there's a more holistic approach to police and crime. Because there are two levels of the Police and Crime Commissioner role. There is police, but there is also crime. And it is not only the police that deals with crime. It's the agencies that are out there, those sort of unsung heroes that are on our streets that help crime prevention. I think at the moment, the way the funding is so limited, the police have no choice but to deal with responses to crime. Mm. And what has happened to crime prevention? It's been forgotten about. And unless you double the budget, you have to say, well, how on earth can they focus on crime prevention? So we need smarter ways to get other people involved to help that process. And once we start to prevent crime, then we can see a more effective approach in police budgeting, because there'll be less money needed to be spent on dealing with crime and actually reinvested in prevention.
Yeah, so Mr. Lodge thinks he's got the answer to that. It's a more joined up approach is what he would like to see. He also wants the government to recognise that the population of Devon and Cornwall greatly increases in the summer months, so the police need more resources at that time. And again, he wants to see more bobbies on the beat to bridge the gap between the police and the public. He tells us why we should give him his vote.
The Liberal Democrats exist for a fairer deal, and that is something that the public in Devon and Cornwall are not getting. They're not getting a fair deal. They're not getting a fair deal from the police. They're not getting a fair deal from the funding for the police. The Liberal Democrat approach is such a positive one. If anybody's got half an hour, I sat down and read the manifesto for the Liberal Democrats, and it just inspired me. Everything in there was just common sense. And if we could apply a common sense approach to politics, if we can apply a common sense approach to being the police and crime commissioner, we will resolve a lot of the problems that we have. And currently that just doesn't exist. As a good example, in 2012, there was a lot of documentation produced for potential police and crime commissioners, because that's when the role was created. Reams and reams of documents, but one of them was on youth crime. And in the document, this was created by the Conservatives, it said that for every pound you spend on youth crime, you will save the country £2.50. Now, if I went into a bank and put £1 in and knew I could walk out with £2.50, I'll be a very happy man. Mm-hmm. And what happened? Investment in youth crime was slashed. Investment in the police was slashed. Mm-hmm. If we actually invest properly in our public services, we will deal with a lot of the issues that we have. And for some reason, politicians just don't see it.
That was Steve Lodge, one of the three candidates for the Police and Crime Commissioner election, which happens on May the 2nd. You're listening to Devoncast, which comes from Radio X and the Local Democracy Reporting Service, which you can get on the Radio X website, on the Radio X app, from your usual podcast providers, and from the all-new Devoncast Radio on DAB Digital Radio.
And for our third candidate, it's Alison Hernandez, who's hoping to be re-elected for a third term. She was first voted in 2016, so she's been there a while, got her feet under the table. Alison's a former local and regional government worker who was heading up community safety partnerships in the region before she got the job. She says that over that time, she's reopened 13 police stations and police station inquiry desks, set up the Vision Zero partnership, which has invested £5 million on improving road safety, secured £5.5 million of Safer Streets funding, plus initiated the Operation Scorpion campaign to crack down on drugs operations, and a programme to get prisoners building homes. I asked her why she thinks she's got more to give.
I've had a five-year term. And then I've had a three-year term because of COVID. It changed the election process. So we got an extra year in the first term. And obviously how difficult that those last 2 years were. And we've had a three-year term. This three-year term is the first time I've been able to work as a whole team in the Southwest. So we've only just got started. There's five police and crime commissioners in the Southwest. We have come together as a collective. I lead them. I lead the Southwest collaboration between our forces and our police and crime commissioners in the region. I lead the Southwest Reducing Reoffending Partnership, which is probation, public health and wider partners. My energy in the second term has been, right, we've got to sort this cross-border crime out and we've got to have an impact. We've only just started that. We've only been doing that for, we've had Operation Scorpion, tackling drugs, only been doing it for 2 years. And we've had nearly 4,000 drug disruptions in that time. We've only just got started. So I absolutely can see the value of some of the things we're doing as a region now going national. Mm. So we've got our Prisoners Building Homes project that took us 3 years to get off the ground. Proof of concept done in my force area in Torquay. We have now got a regional house building programme with prisoners doing it. You know, what you need to be able to do these projects is really understand the problem you're trying to solve. We're trying to solve homelessness, because every time people reoffend, the excuse you'll be given is that they haven't got a home and they haven't got a job and they get back into their old ways. So that's why we're doing that programme. That is our aim now, is to take that nationally. So we have got loads of energy because we have got projects that we think are national societal game changers.
Now, one of the biggest criticisms of the police is that officers are not visible enough. We heard that earlier from Mr. Steele. I spoke to Ms. Hernandez about the public perception that there are few police patrolling the streets.
Some of the challenges around, and North Devon in particular, we got Safer Streets for Barnstable as well, funding to give them a boost. And the street marshals have gone down a storm.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's because if the police are patrolling and they end up dealing with an incident, they're taken off the street to deal with the incident. Whether it's arresting someone, they're taken off and then they're not patrolling. The street marshals aren't doing that. They're going to be there all the time because they can't arrest people. So I think there's something about how do we get that balance between people wanting to know and respect the police by the fact that they've actually met them in the street and giving that consent for policing because they're confident the police are doing things that means that they're on the side of the law-abiding public versus a visible presence that's uniformed that people can also approach. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, police community support officers are a bit like a street marshal in the sense that they're not able to have powers of arrest other than what we have as a citizen's arrest. But I think fundamentally, what you want is people employed that aren't going to be distracted or extracted due to incidents that might happen within the organisation, which is what happens in policing. It's a very dynamic organisation. And what you need is stability. And it's really, really hard to achieve that. Some of our rural areas, though, I've got some amazing inspectors in the force that I have met. Just in South Devon, for example, Inspector Ben Shardlow reduced antisocial behaviour by working with the councillors, got the college involved, went and spoke to businesses with his team, patrolled certain hotspots, antisocial behaviour went down. So when you grip it and you lead it as policing, it works. And it is policing that needs to help lead it, but you really also need your ward councillors stepping up.
So there we go, a big part for the councillors to play. Again, a collaboration of everybody trying to crack down on crime. I asked the Police and Crime Commissioner what her main priorities were for the next 4 years if she's re-elected and why she thinks people should support her.
I need the public to play their part in the consultation on the Police and Crime Plan that will happen whichever commissioner is elected. So really want your listeners and your viewers to actually take part in that. And that's about the things that you think are important to be focused on. I mean, I've just spent 3 years now focusing on violence, drugs, road safety and antisocial behaviour. I think as we move into this next term of office, there's a huge push to tackle rural crime in terms of serious and organised crime that's happening of the stealing of animals and property. And again, that's a regional project that we're doing because we know a lot of our criminals in the southwest are travelling criminals. So I think there's going to be a bit much bigger focus on that in the next term. And the second area, because I've decided we can't keep doing more of the same, is around domestic abuse. It is our volume crime. It's not car crime. It's not burglary. It's not shoplifting. The volume crime we have in Devon and Cornwall, the bulk of it is violence. And the bulk of that is linked to domestic abuse. And so I think we need some radical ideas now. I don't think we can keep going just helping victims escape and supporting them to report. I think we need to do a lot more. So I want to look at some radical ideas around tackling domestic abuse because it's increasing and it's a societal problem. And I'm really up for the challenge of doing something radical. And if I can do road safety, because people tell me that speeding vehicles and dangerous drivers where they live is really annoying them and frustrating them, and I can create Vision Zero and get all the partners on board and invest £5 million into road safety because of the way we're working, I want to do something similar like that around domestic abuse. So I think bringing those partners together and the community to come up with some radical solutions. I haven't got the solution right now, but that is what we're going to need to do in the next term.
And why should people vote for you?
Well, I suppose there's a few things. There's a few things there, isn't there? One, I've got a track record of doing what I say. So I promised in 2016 that I would review the closure of police station front desks. I did that and reopened the first one in 2020. It took me 4 years because we were still coming out of austerity. We were on a growth budget and people are paying more in their council tax. But I've reopened 13 police station front desks. I've got 5 more to do yet. So there's 5 more still to happen this year if I'm re-elected. And I've announced where they are. And I think, you know, doing what you say and what you promise is important. The other bit for me in particular, I promised to prioritise the recruitment of police officers. And we now have record numbers of police officers. Thanks again, both to the government for their uplift, but for council taxpayers paying more, we have got the most ever police officers we've ever had, 3,610, and our job is to make them more visible. And I think there's been increased visibility from when I go and speak to communities. They have seen more over the past few years, but they want to see even more. So that's a bit of a challenge. But you vote for me and I'll make sure that happens. And I suppose the third thing for me is this job, I don't think most people understand what it does. I spend 50% of my time scrutinising the police and about 50% of my time trying to tackle crime, reduce crime. And a lot of it has nothing to do with the police. So my Prisoners Building Homes project that we started in Devon and Cornwall and became regional and will go national in the next term, that is absolutely the sort of things that we're coming up with, is the radical ideas to solve society problems. So if you want someone who's going to be doing that, then again, I'd say I'm the person to help.
That was Alison Hernandez, one of three candidates who want your votes when it comes to voting for the Police and Crime Commissioner on May the 2nd. We've featured all three of them on this edition of Devoncast, which is available on the Radio X website, on the Radio X app, from your usual podcast provider, be sure to subscribe, and from the all-new Devoncast Radio on DAB Digital Radio. We've had a quick snapshot there of the three candidates, giving them a chance to explain why they think that people should vote for them. But will the public be voting? That's the big question. Ali, you've been out on the streets of Tavistock to find out.
I don't think I'll be voting for the position. I don't think it really matters who does the job. I think their hands are tied with finances and there's not enough police on the street. I think there's too many inside working in the buildings at desks and not out where they should be.
I'm very cynical because I believe that everybody does it for their own ends. They promise the world until they get in, and then reality kicks in and all they think about then is the next election and how can I keep my job. So the country and the parliamentarians and everything are always looking at the short-term solution. There's nobody looking for how are we going to get out of the mess we're in, and that means more than 4 years, and nobody's prepared to take that chance.
Okay, does that mean you won't be voting then?
I will be voting. I've got no idea who I'm going to vote for. And it's as simple as that, because I don't trust any of them.
I think we need a police and crime commissioner. Actually, especially about petty crime, because we actually get quite a lot of that here in the market, people taking things. But I think like the vandalism, we had people spraying some of our waste drums and things with spray paint. And it's sort of silly things like that. And I think if we can have somebody do something about that, would be great.
Yeah, I'll be voting. I always like to exercise, our democratic rights to go and vote and to take an interest in how we sort of manage our public life together. And so, yeah, I'll definitely be voting.
Do you know who you're going to vote for?
I do, but I'm not going to say, so sorry.
Now, to be honest, there were more people said they were going to go out and vote than we were expecting there.
Yeah, there were. I mean, I must admit, there were a lot of people who didn't actually even know that the elections were taking place. Some people didn't even know what the job was.
It's a battle to get that out there, isn't there? People don't really know. They're not really engaged. They see crime, antisocial behaviour, graffiti. Yeah. They want more police desks open. They want more police on the streets. All of those three candidates have come up with ways in which they're going to do that. Mm. Interesting. But our job really, I suppose, is to try and rabble-rouse a little bit and get people out to vote.
Yeah, well, it's important, isn't it? I mean, everyone's got a moan and a groan, but they can't really moan and groan if they don't go out and vote, can they?
So
they need to get down there. Just take a little walk down to your polling station.
They're never far away, are they?
They're really not. No, and they're open, aren't they? 7 till 10, so, there's plenty of time in the day to go and cast your vote. It is important. You've got a say. And, earlier we heard that the police and crime plan is very much focused on what the people want. So, if enough people are shouting, then their priorities should be in that plan. So I think, it's definitely worth.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That little walk.
You're never far from polling station, and you're never far from Devoncast either, which is here on Radio X website and app, from your usual provider, and on Devoncast Radio. Just ask the little box in the corner, play Devoncast Radio, and it will. Thank you very much for listening. I've been Guy Henderson.
And I've been Alison Stevenson.
It's good night from us, and we'll be back before you know it.
Catch the latest episode of Devoncast every Friday at radiox.co.uk or wherever you get your podcasts.